JC2S, Part 2.
Number 22B.
So we see then that if we look at the epitome for truth is soul, we begin already to pick up the tonality, therefore, of the role of the textbook within the 6,000-year period, because she shows then that that truth is soul, that the healing power of truth was lost through religious and medical idolatry and had to be rediscovered, you see, as definite scientific rules. And as she'll show, it's truth, the soul is soul, that it was rediscovered in Christian Science. So we have already now that sense, all right, we can see that that saving science is now coming in, and that saving science is that really truth science, which is the Savior by definite rules. See, that science now is going to rediscover the healing element that was lost before. So we see then that, well, yes, that's fine. If I look at that, I say, well, the healing power of truth, if we color our epitomes as truth, was lost, the opposite of soul, through religious and medical idolatry. Idolatry is that false sense testimony, idol worship we have already found out about in the Bible, the opposite of soul. And rediscovered, all those re's or soul, as definite scientific rules. Soul, that it was discovered through science and rules. Rules are always a quality of a standpoint of soul. So we say, yes, all right, I'm beginning to hear now that how truth volume is going to be that savior, because it's going to rediscover the rules of healing that were lost. So she says, all right, then I want to give you more information about this, so I will do it through 5 sub-subtones. So she says, truth is soul as mind. Therefore, she says, now, the healing element of Christianity was lost. Why? She says, through trust and faith in drugs, the first idolatry. So she says that whole healing element was not on secure ground when it was just that which was relying on an individual savior, an individual savior showing his works by his life, that it was lost and it needed something to be more permanent than that. It needed a science and rules. So she first wants to build up to that point, as I said, of truth of soul is soul, by saying, all right, I'll tell you first of all why it was lost. It was lost because of idolatry, and the first idolatry, you hear mine, first idolatry was just using wrong channels of healing, which was trust and faith in drugs. So let's listen now to that first influx as she starts building us up towards truth volume as the Savior. We'll read then on page 145.31 to 146.12. Truth is soul is mine. All right? She says, the theology of Christian Science includes healing the sick. Our master's first article of faith propounded to his students was healing, and he proved his faith by his works. The ancient Christians were healers. Why has this element of Christianity been lost? Because our systems of religion are governed more or less by our systems of medicine. The first idolatry was faith in matter. The schools have rendered faith in drugs the fashion, rather than faith in deity. By trusting matter to destroy its own discord, health and harmony have been sacrificed. Such systems are barren of the vitality of spiritual power, by which material sense is made the servant of science, and religion becomes Christ-like. So if we now do an abstraction of that, so she's saying, yes, yes, in marginal heading, how healing was lost. She says, well, she says it was lost. It used to be here. The healing was an important point of science. It was an important part of theology, she's saying, that the theology of Christian Science includes healing. She says, even as Jesus asked his students to heal, and how he healed, and how the ancient Christians were healers, saying that is an element that must be there in a theology. And she says, why was that healing lost? And then she says, as we saw, because our systems of religion were governed or controlled by our systems of medicine. You see, she's saying, well, remember in theology section that theology, religion, decided that all it could be responsible for would be sin, and that they would leave sickness up to medicine. And so she said that was the problem, when theology just became responsible for, dropped off one of its responsibility. It didn't take on the whole garment of Christ, because Christ asked the students to heal in his theology both sin and sickness. And so she said, therefore, that turned into idolatry, because when theology said to medicine, you go ahead, you take care of sickness, I'll take care of sin, the split came, and therefore the duality came, and therefore when the duality came, that medicine and its drugs became the idol of healing the sick. And with that, therefore, she shows that religion lost its power. It couldn't heal any longer. So that was the result, as we see in the next abstract. She says then that such systems are barren of the vitality of spiritual power, that they cannot heal because they have made science the servant of the senses, that they became the servants then of the senses, they became the servants of idolatry, they became the servants of matter to heal. And when they did that, it shut out, you have that sense, remember always that when we turn to spiritualism, turn to opposite methods, it shuts out the realm of the real. So it lost all its power to heal, because it was took in the talking lying serpent. It took in spiritualism. It took in duality. It split away from its total garment, its total responsibility in theology. And in doing so, it lost its power. So she says then that the system of science, which is based on definite scientific rules, that has spiritual power. Because now she will show that science handles both, through science and understanding, the healing of sin and sickness. We've already seen that, so she's just recalling back to us that. And therefore it has its vitality of spiritual power, because it puts on the whole garment of truth. It identifies itself, soul, with the whole garment of truth. Mm-hmm. So it says that that science makes material sense the servants of science. So therefore, she says that religion now becomes Christ-like, and that the healing power of truth is rediscovered through the whole garment of Christ, the whole responsibility coming back to theology, and the medical, the truth coming back to theology, taking on the whole garments of healing sin and sickness. Okay, so she says, generally though, what we want to maintain, the big point here is that truth is soul, is mind, is what she wants to bring out, was then that healing element was lost through by splitting theology, and as I said then, only taking sin and leaving it to medicine to heal the sickness, and then the medicine became drugs, and then we became to idolize using drugs and lost the spiritual power because we gave power to the drug. And so she said that has to be corrected. So therefore the healing power of truth at the point of truth as soul as spirit, saying, all right, that has to be corrected because the supremacy of spirit cannot be replaced by material drugs. Now she's beginning to take away the power from that first idolatry and says, oh no, the identity of truth, the identity of the healing remedy is now going to be that you can't do that. The supremacy of spirit cannot be replaced by material drugs. So she's now starting to take away from material drugs any sense of idolatry, and she's will, and then the soulless truth of soulless soul tone, give it back to science. So we're just moving towards that tone. Are you all right? Can we go on? Okay. So she says, all right then, that therefore the supremacy, we look at our epitome, and it says, the supremacy of is always a soul tone, spirit, spirit, cannot be replaced, the soul tone, by material, the opposite sense of spirit, using material remedies, which were the first idolatry. All right, so now let's read the text, 146:13, 22. Well, it's a smallish tone. She says here, I mean not small tone, but it's not very much in the text. She says, material medicine substitutes drugs for the power of God, even the might of mind, to heal the body. Scholasticism clings for salvation to the person instead of to the divine principle of the man Jesus. And his science, the curative agent of God, is silenced. Why? Because truth divests material drugs of their imaginary power and clothes spirit with the supremacy. Science is the stranger that is within thy gates, remembered not, even when its elevating effects practically prove its divine origin and efficacy. So you can see she's hearkening us to the truth of soul, the soul tone. Science is a stranger within the gates, and yet it's the Savior that's coming. I'll show you. It's that which the truth volume is coming to save, and it's a Savior within all this idolatry business and drug business. It's a stranger. It's not known as a Savior within that realm of medical idolatry. So you see she's hearkening to what's coming. And so at the point of spirit, she, if we look at the abstraction, she then shows then that material medicine tries to substitute drugs to heal the body for the power of God and the might of mind, the true remedy. That you hear the sense of the true remedy of mind at soul is being substituted at spirit for matter. Do you hear the tones? True remedy mind, soul is being substituted for matter. Matter is being used instead of mind. She says, and as Scholasticism substitutes the person Jesus for the divine principle, all the substitution going on for the real truth is wrong. It's impure. Don't do it. Don't let this sense of substitution come in. That's just mingling. Don't resort to this sense, opposite sense of soul, to substitute this for that. Take the real thing, spirit. Don't take, if you can take the real thing, take it. Don't take any substitute form, any counterfeit form. It's all the opposite of soul. If we do, she says, science, the curative agent of God, is silenced. All right, and that science is going to be the stranger within thy gates. So therefore, we finally come to what I started out talking about when I came in this afternoon of Truth the Soulless Soul, the where she now shows, here's where we get the place value of science and health as truth volume within the 6,000 year period, how it is identified as the savior. So we see, therefore, that truth is the remedy, and as soul, that healing power of truth, we've seen as mind and spirit, was lost through religious and medical idolatry, but now we'll see at truth is soul a soul, was rediscovered as definite scientific rules. Soul was rediscovered in truth's volume. So let's read that, 146, 147. Wonderful. This is the big point that Dorley always quoted concerning Christian Science, what he saw. Divine science derives its sanction from the Bible. Well, we've seen that. And the divine origin of science is demonstrated through the holy influence of truth in healing sickness and sin. This healing power of truth must have been far anterior to the period in which Jesus lived. It is as ancient as the Ancient of Days. It lives through all life and extends throughout all space. Now here it comes, the famous quote. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. There it is, truth's volume. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. You hear how it's present, it's truth volume, it's for the 6,000-year period. Not for any other age, it's for now. And this is the Savior for this age. So she says, all right, that we have then the epitome, eternal truth. That's that whole truth. You hear the law of truth, life, and love behind the Christ here, bringing us truth's volume. Eternal truth, there's the whole truth, in the epitome. I'm just going up from the epitome. Eternal truth, that's that whole, is now reduced, is now, right now, life infinitely individualized, reduced to the requirements of the present age, love. To meet the need of the age, adapted to the age. You hear truth, life, and love? That whole eternal truth, as life is now infinitely individualized, love adapted to the present age, to the requirements of the present age. That's that whole influx behind the first translation of Emmanuel, God with us. So showing that truth's volume came to us when Jesus, as the individual expression of the Christ, gave the vision to John. He was talking out from the Christ consciousness, from that mind of Christ, just explaining that truth's volume is going to come to you. It was nothing mysterious how he saw the vision. He was at work with the mind of Christ. And here we have that law of interdependence behind what we saw this morning about in healing, how that mind of Christ takes on the power of principle, life, truth, love, and objectifies itself subjectively as soul, spirit, mind. Here we see what that law of interdependence behind that, which brings the truth's volume. So Jesus was just saying, and behind my mind of Christ and the wondrous works I've done here, there is truth, life, and love. There is that law of absolute Christian Science, that first translation, and it's going to bring you another Savior besides my answering yes. It's going to bring you a Savior that lets you answer yes collectively. And he says, and that's the eternal truth. Mrs. Eddy just puts it into the words here, and Max epitomized. And that's the truth, which is life. As I said, again, just repeating it because it's so beautiful, which is infinitely individualized right now, reduced to, and love adapted to the requirements of the present age. It's so beautiful. All right, so therefore we see then that, she says, divine science, that 6,000 and 7,000 year period has derived its sanction from the Bible, from the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th periods. She says the divine origin of science is demonstrated through the holy influence of truth in healing sickness and sin. She says the healing power of truth must have been far anterior to the period in which Jesus lived. She's showing that this truth has been living throughout all times. Huh? It lives throughout all life. It extends throughout all space. Jesus saying, behold, the fields are already white with harvest. The truth has always been there, she says. Jesus was a natural expression of the truth. That's why she's referring it to the Bible, saying, well, this divine science that I bring to you in the subject of Christian science in its absolute and relative sense, she says, it isn't that it's just for this age, the science. It's been there for all time. The Bible showed you that it was there for all time. In Jesus' life, it has been there for all time. She says, but what's unique about this truth soul in soul period is that truth, life, and love is reducing it to our present age as a science. Before it lived in the realm of natural science, in natural science, Jesus being a natural scientist, today it's reduced down to science and understanding. So therefore we have at the marginal heading reduction to a system. There we see now that quote again, as I just have it out on the transparency, where she shows then that divine metaphysics, that's her science, then again using that whole tonality of truth, life, and love coming to us by the Christ. Divine metaphysics or Christian science is what she's saying. That whole truth, that's what Christian science stands for. The truth, truth's volume. That whole realm of truth is now reduced. Huh? That's that life tone, as we just saw, to a system. That's to a form comprehensible by and adapted. There we hear the love tone, adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. So we have, therefore, the epitome that Max gave us from what Mrs. Eddy said in such a beautiful economy of words. Isn't that beautiful? It's like music to us now, isn't it? We could sing the melody over and over. Divine metaphysics, the truth, at the point of life, is now reduced to a system. Love, to a form comprehensible by. Isn't that love comprehensible by? It's the way the age comprehends it. And adapted to the thought of the age in which we live, which is very loving. Hmm? And then she says, and through that divine principle love, which has taken the truth and infinitely individualized it and adapted it to our age in the method of science and given to us in truth's volume, in that science, she says, this system enables the learner to demonstrate. See, this system, which will give you, through the process of analysis, the key of David, through analyzing what that principle is, through the reduction of a science, giving you that key, it's going to enable us then to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. So she says, therefore, that this volume gives you the key, and now that key is going to unlock that healing that was lost, and now it will unlock it, and it will be lost no more. She shows that very clearly. Oh, it's so beautiful how with this key of David that comes in truth volume through the process of analysis, which lets us open up, therefore, and through science and understanding to answer yes collectively to the discovery of healing again with this key of David, she says, once this key of David has come to us, that it will open up that healing process and it will never be lost again. It's on secure footing. It's on science. See, she says in the, you know, that section, Key to the Scriptures, saying, all right, we know now that she has that whole section, Key to the Scriptures, which comes when we look in the Table of contents, we say yes. Look at the table of contents. And then put your finger in the table of contents. And then put your finger at page 501.